Isn't it wonderful to sing praise songs from all these wonderful, talented music writers? And when you see the names pop up on the screen, it warms your heart to know that the Lord has gifted the body. I don't know if you happen to notice on that last one, but for those of you that may be new with us here, Paul wrote that song. As our minister of music, it is important for us to uphold him in prayer, that the Lord would continue to stimulate his creativity to bless the body. Because I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to his next song. Today, we're going to be looking into John chapter 5. And as we do, last week we were looking at how John was sharing with us this unity that exists between the Father and the Son. And from that, he's going to be developing this into witnesses testifying on Jesus' behalf. If you could, for today, just imagine yourselves being in a courtroom situation in which the Lord Jesus is there to have witnesses testify on his behalf. And to no surprise to anyone, he's going to represent himself. He'll be his own counsel. I mean, where could he go to find better counsel than himself? So within this, we see that it brings us to John chapter 5, verses 31 to 47. Begin reading there at John 31, 35, in which we will see about reference to John the Baptist is a good witness. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. Now, within this, Jesus is there, and he's addressing the court, in which both the judge and the jury are these Jewish leaders. And as he's addressing them, he basically says, you know, I could testify to myself. In other words, I do have the authority. But Jesus is acknowledging, I know you will not receive it. Therefore, I need to bring in others. So there is another that I can bring in. I don't need to go to human testimony, but I will. So he starts with John. And I think part of the reason that he does is because John presents a difficult situation to these Jewish leaders, these Jewish authorities. John comes on the scene. Kind of a rugged looking fellow. And he goes and he starts presenting the truth of God. Prepare the way for the Messiah is going to come. And so they were going, wow, this is cool news. Let's listen to this guy. And so they did. And so within doing it, as John had this very poignant message of repentance, the Jewish people were embracing it, knowing they were in some trouble with God. But they were really believing that though God would discipline Israel, with this Messiah coming, he's going to destroy their enemies. So they were willing to go along with it. And of course, the people thought that John was a prophet of God. Why? Because he's foretelling, he's talking about the one who is to come. Kind of put the Jewish authorities kind of a little bit back on their heels. Because everyone was popularly acknowledging the fact that John came from God. And yet they did not adhere to what John said when John told them, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And so we can see that there was a bit of difficulty here that they were going to have to deal with. That it was something that John's whole purpose was in preparation for the Messiah. And that within this, that if in fact he was sent from God, why did these Jewish authorities not believe him? Jesus goes on and he calls for his second witness. And here we can see in verse 36 that he calls his miraculous works a better witness. "I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me." Last week, we talked about this very thing. How that so often it would be very easy for people to be looking at the miracles of Jesus and going, "Wow, did you see that?" When the whole time, the reason the miracles are performed is what? To draw attention to the person of Jesus Christ. The sole purpose, the sole testimony, the sole witness of the miracles of Christ is not to amaze, is not to distract. It's not to steal the spotlight from Jesus. The whole purpose of these miraculous acts is so that the spotlight is focused on Jesus, his person. He's the one we need to notice. Goes on. We see number three, God the Father, the best witness. Verses 37 to 47. For those of you who think, "My goodness, he's already on his third point." We do have 10 verses here, so don't get too excited. Okay. We can see in verses 37 through 47, reading verses 37 and 38. "And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent." We can see within this that you know, as God, I mean, as Jesus being God, the Son, is in the courtroom and he's standing in counsel for himself and he's addressing these Jewish leaders as both the judge and the jury. He's calling on God the Father to come into the courtroom. But nobody sees him. He's spirit. And so as God the Father comes and takes his place next to the Son, Jesus says, "I'll go ahead and speak for him." He is the counsel, by the way, in this situation. So that makes sense. And so as God the Son is talking here, he's saying, "Hey, God the Father, who's right here with us, is telling you that you didn't pay any attention to what he had to say. Because the communication that God has with you is all coming through me. It always has. It always will. So if there's going to be any witness of God the Father, I'm the one who makes it known. And I have made it known because I complete the will of God perfectly." That's last week. Okay, so as we're looking at this, moving on, verses 39 and 40. "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." There's a real problem here. That you've got these people that are dedicated to the study of the Word. There's some of us that have favorite verses in the Bible. There's some of us that may be able to give the outline of some of our favorite short books. These are guys who had virtually huge chunks of the Old Testament scriptures memorized. They spent their time diligently tearing the word apart that they may know it. And yet all the time, with all of the knowledge and all of the facts that they had about the scriptures, they totally and completely missed the main point. They had all of this knowledge about the scriptures, but they didn't know God and how that God revealed himself through his Son. Rather harsh words and things that certainly there's those in today's world that can be so diligent about the study of the scripture, and certainly they're discovering knowledge. But if it isn't helping them in their relationship to Jesus Christ and thereby their relationship with everyone else, they're missing the main point. And we can see herein that Jesus' condemnation, without saying it directly to these Jewish leaders, is, yes, you may know the Word of God, but you do not know the God of the Word. Moving on, verse 41. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? We see within this that, you know, you get the idea that in this courtroom scene, as Jesus is addressing these Jewish leaders, that they're just kind of discerning amongst themselves, and this is their discerning look. And as they discern, they're coming up with the idea, I'll bet you half price sale on pork chops that the idea of Jesus being kind of torqued at us right now, kind of upset, is because we didn't acknowledge him. We didn't accept him in front of all the other people. So as Jesus is addressing himself to all these other people, he's feeling, yeah, you guys didn't have my back. No, it's like, that's why he's upset. And Jesus just cuts it off. And he says, no, this has nothing to do with my feeling like you patted me on the back. Those who testify of me, the greatest witness is God the Father. I need no other. The reason that I am rejecting you is not your rejection of me. The reason I reject you is your lack of love. Wham. It's like you study the scriptures and you don't even get the message. We can see that Jesus basically makes three points as to why he is taking these guys to text. Number one, they rejected the very mouthpiece of God himself that stands before them right now. Number two, we can see that they were willing to listen to the false teacher, those that are saying things that are untrue about God, but did not threaten them in their position. They're willing to let their ears be tickled. And number three, we can see here that as Jesus is saying this, their desire was for approval. That what they wanted to hear was everybody to say, give yourself a hand. You guys are great. And they didn't care who it came from. In other words, they would rather have the applause of sinful man right now than wait for the applause of God. And in so doing, these guys are just like, wow, you know, this is pretty harsh. So we're coming down here to the end of this scene, verses 45 through 47. But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Jesus is just taking a little aside here. And he's saying, hey, you know, I came to the world as the Savior. I came to save people. But those who keep their hearts far from me will not be receiving that salvation. Though I have the authority to judge, we saw that last week. I didn't come to judge you here. I'm not going to accuse you. I'm going to let Moses do that. Because you so adhere to what Moses said, well then, duh. You better go back and read it. Because what Moses wrote testifies of me. And so Jesus is going, I don't need to accuse you. I will leave that to Moses himself. You look to Moses for where your help shall come, and therein you will be judged. Interesting scenario, the way that Jesus is able to play that upon himself. Jesus, in other words, is going to stay with his mission, which is to seek those to be saved. We've described a bit today this courtroom scene in which witnesses will align to support the ministry and the claims of Jesus. And to avoid further embarrassment, you just kind of get the idea here that the judge and jury, one and the same, the Jewish leaders are saying, down comes the gavel. Court dismissed. Nothing said about the sentence. Nothing said about release from judgment. Nothing. Just like, hey, let's just get on out of here. And in so doing, we see the callousness of their heart. That rather than embracing the fact, whoa, we were just kind of taken to task. Maybe we should stop and take a look at this and see if there's some corrective action we need to take. But no. As they do, like so many humans do. I would rather ignorantly, blindly, foolishly go my own way, ignoring the claims of God and the fact that he wants to change me. That I just kind of want to do my own thing. So, God, don't bother me. I'm just going to slide on out of here. Leaving themselves separated from the only source of help for our soul. As we look at this, we can see that, you know, there are others with a sensitivity for God to draw them in. To know that we need to change according to what God wants. And as we do that, we find ourselves that we will be receiving grace rather than condemnation. Love rather than isolation. Power instead of impotency. Jesus has proven his authority. John records it so that we may believe. And that if we receive him, then we receive eternal life. By ways of us kind of trying to bring this passage of Scripture into our own lives, can I suggest three things that perhaps you can take home with you today? Maybe will help just remind you of the fact that these witnesses align for Jesus. If you are convinced, you must commit. The call of Jesus on our life is not casual. You know, the guy can't be sitting there, you know, going, "Honey, can you get me a bag of Doritos?" "Yeah, sure. I know Jesus. Yeah, I love Jesus. Now just let me get back to my game." It's not casual in any way, shape, or form. You know, there's some idea that we take a look at our life, our daily life, and we're going, "You know, I really need to make it count a little bit more for God, just so I feel a little bit better about myself." And so we look and we're going, "Okay, what can I do that'll give God a little bit more of a part of me?" When it comes to matters of the heart, God is not interested in a part. Not even the best part. God is interested in the whole. He wants our whole heart. He wants it all. Number two, the goal of Bible study is not knowledge that puffs up, but love that builds up. Yes, it is very true. Our lives are, the answers to the questions of our life are found in Scripture. Yes, they are. And within that, it is our one source of finding that information. And yet the goal is not that we would be increasing in this knowledge. Because the knowledge that we should gain from the Scriptures is Jesus is our all in all. He is the difference maker. He's that event in my life that has taken me from condemnation to eternal life. From taking me from being stuck in the created realm that is dominated by sin to the uncreated realm. So within this, we know that as we study Scripture, it should be that we learn about Him, we learn about ourselves, and thereby we're able to serve one another. And as we serve one another, then certainly we will be building up one another and also building up the kingdom of Christ. Just have to share with you Galatians 5:6, the last part of the verse. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Number three, does our knowledge of the Bible give us a big head or a burning heart? It's a tough question. It shouldn't be that tough, but it is. We are so wired with our own importance. It's tough. Let us always desire to exalt Jesus by serving others with credit that only goes to Him. Within this, as we see witnesses of Jesus in others in our life, you know, would it not strengthen our faith when we have a friend, a family member that testifies of the love of Jesus? And we're going to have a baptism here in 2 weeks as Alec will come up. And I know that Alec, even though he's a young, you know, just a child, he thrilled his family with his wanting to testify of Jesus Christ. And did he not thrill all of us when we heard the same? Amen. And so we should be strengthened as we look at the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith to follow Jesus wherever He goes. And I can tell you that for most of us, it's not like those dreaded places in the world that he's necessarily going to call you. You don't have to worry that today you're going to go home and he's going to say your name. He's not going to say your name. He's going to say your name. You know what I mean. I want you to go to Sierra Leone. Whoa! They don't have running water. They don't have electricity. No, they may not even say, go to Mason City. Wow, where were the gasps? Come on, work with me here. But what Jesus is going to ask you to do is he's going to call for you to meet him where he is. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is telling us that as we go, as we travel through life, wherever that is, whatever that takes us, whether it's the grocery store, whether it's at school, whether it is kneeling down beside our bed, there, Jesus wants us to testify of him. And in so doing, should we not have this burning heart that is always looking to seek the lost? Anybody know anybody who's lost? Anybody know anybody who is hurting? Anybody know anybody that's alone or lonely? Anybody know anybody that's unloved or is unloving or is unlovable? These are the ones Jesus died to save. These are the ones we have the burning heart that says, I must go. I must tell. And in so doing, we will certainly demonstrate we have heard the witnesses of Jesus Christ, those who testify he is the Savior and Lord of all. Father, thank you for this passage today, that as we look at these different witnesses for Jesus, that they are absolutely true. He had authority to speak for himself. He needed to call on no other, but Lord, he calls on God the Father as the best witness of all. May we not miss it in our lives. May we understand we do not capitulate ourselves into a place that the focus is on us rather than him. That we may be profitable for the kingdom of Christ. Lord, may your spirit strive with ours as we celebrate communion together. In Christ's name, amen.